was me, would you?
Actually sends an impulse
up to the zones in the map.
Run your fingers down the wall and I can stop your next day fall.
Keep your hand off that dial. This is 102.4
in the Rim Insight,
broadcasting on all planes of reality.
What's up, guys, and welcome to another episode of Blue Room Insight. I am Daniel.
Here he is.
Skipper.
It's Matt.
And we are all here today.
Sure are. I like to think so.
I mean, I am a little high. I'm not going to lie. I'm already...
Yeah, well, what's... you got that different shit going on right there.
Yeah.
That's a cool little can.
Yeah, it does a little more.
Psychedelic, man.
Does more?
Yeah, I do more. How do you like that aspartame?
Excuse me. Minty.
How do you like that menthol?
I think that's called cobalt, but that's okay.
Peppermint.
Oh, damn. Did they change it? I thought blue from the five was... It is cobalt, yeah. Bitch.
It's also peppermint.
Yeah, but that's different than mint.
I like menthol.
I like my gum. It tastes like my cigarettes. Mm-hmm. Mm. Dirt.
Dirt.
Mm. Mm. So how do you guys been? Thursday, which by the time this episode airs, Darius and I will be seeing Dune 2.
I'm going to watch Dune 1 tomorrow.
The movie's at 7:30. That's the earliest I could have got it.
That's cool.
But it's IMAX.
That's cool, man.
So, yeah.
Definitely recommend it.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want to go to something else. I really didn't. But, yeah. Anything new going on? You playing any new games? Did you get that
Helldivers 2 yet?
Did you get
Hellraiser.
That? So, you've been liking it?
I've enjoyed it more than I thought I would.
Oh, I see.
I've seen, I don't really focus on the NFL. We haven't really talked sports in a while, but Russell Wilson got signed by the Steelers.
Yep.
So that makes me feel like I want to watch it, because I liked Russell Wilson there for a little bit.
We cut Aaron Jones.
Yeah, you guys are making, the Packers are making some moves, aren't they?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice, dude.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's cool. But yeah,
so sign Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, I saw that. Which that's a huge pickup.
Yeah,
like
we went after him because we couldn't reach a deal with Jones,
which is crazy. Because I'd rather have Jacobs.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's that 180, isn't it?
Yeah, it's thick boy, but it's blue.
Darius, what? Yeah, but like, today? Look, man. Hey, when the thick boys are colored, they're good.
Oh, I'm sure, but yeah, most colored ones are not thick.
It's the thin ones, yeah.
They're mostly thin.
Yeah, like the
you buy like a Laserdisc, a Thriller at fucking... Not a Laserdisc. The fucking... what do you call it? Picture Disc. When you buy the Picture Disc at Walmart, it's the shittiest fucking record you can buy.
Some of them.
It's thin as hell. No, specifically the Thriller one. That one is like... And the Lady Gaga one, too.
I think you can tell.
That
you got past experience for both of those?
No, I haven't bought those, but just looking at them, I'm like, oh, ugh. Gotcha.
I think if I would buy the picture ones, I think that would be more for decoration.
And it's MGMT...
there we go.
Life. MGMT Loss of Life.
The new record.
I haven't
record.
Fully listened to it yet. I've listened to Little Dark Age, and of course I listened to Electro... do you remember the name of it? The most popular one?
No, I don't know.
Electric feels awesome, though, so...
Yeah.
That out there.
MGMT or management, or whatever management. It is. They're really good, good road trip.
Artsy fellows.
Band. I really like listening to them on road trips. Kids.
Dark Age is my favorite song by them, probably.
Okay. That's good. But yeah, anything else? What else is going on? I feel like it's been, you know, how's work been? Just same
no
old.
No change.
I think.
Oh, man. We got to get that record shop going, huh? I did find out that you're pretty limited on the amount of stuff you can buy from like the different companies and labels, because you basically have to guarantee that you're going to buy an X amount from them, and they also won't sell you stuff, like a lot of stuff, until you are more of a, like, they see what you can do. So
I approve what you can sell before you can buy more.
Right. And I was talking to one of the record store owners in Wilmington. We talked at Yellow Dog Disc.
Okay.
Sat there for like 20, 30 minutes just talking. And it sounds like it's going to be like hour wise, like in what we're going to have to invest ourselves. It sounds like it's like restaurant work, which I'm so used to that's fine with me.
And it's work we enjoy.
Right. Like it's going to be so much different.
It's less stressful.
Hopefully. Until we don't know that
fucking record.
I don't know about starting off.
Yeah. Stress. Well, because like there were
going to... Until you get that record reviewer, they come in and you're like, not clean enough, bro. Not for other people's records. You can't be using that shit. Hey, by the way, that sink over there, you need another one. You need another sink, and that shit needs to work. Because if it does not fucking work, you cannot have this shit open.
Is that a broken tile?
What the fuck is up with that record player over there? Why don't we have another one over here?
This is funny,
doesn't
though.
Make any sense.
Yeah, your dumpster in the back doesn't have
Where's
a plug
Where's your fucking
on
surf
it?
Safe?
But yeah.
Fucking record and your record trap out back is dirty.
Where's your fucking record player at? What the fuck's up with the floor? The floor looks like a record player.
There's going to be so many rugs.
So many rugs, and yeah, it's not... What?
But we'll also have coffee, and we're going to sell, like,
it's
merch.
It's a fucking tripping hazard. What the fuck?
It's a fucking tripping hazard.
I'm not too worried about it, but they did sell
Who the fuck's playing Zeppelin?
But they did say that, basically, you need to sell 3 new records to break even. Like, every... So, like...
A day?
No. Like, 3 new records, like... Like, so whenever you buy from these, like, labels, to break even, you basically have to, like, every 3 records is breaking even on, like, 1 record.
Gotcha.
Is what I'm hearing. But that's after, so that would be after, if you break that down, I mean, that should be after the bills. So after every 3 of that same album, you just made you...
Enough
you,
to buy one.
Right. So
it'd be cool though, because your job will be literally to look into what they're selling.
Yeah, no,
like,
he
what
was
is the artist doing.
Yeah, no, he was showing me. He was showing me like a whole bunch of new stuff. That he was like, "You're going to be on like Zoom calls with the labels. You can have midnight releases," which I didn't know that Black Puma's second album, they did a midnight edition during the same time that Taylor Swift released one of her new albums, and I think that new album was Midnight's actually, yeah. Which is funny, but so at midnight. Like what we used to do for games, mm-hmm. and I actually used to do for a couple movies. I'd go to Movie Stop, and I would get the last movie that I did that with was the last or was one of the Star Wars, and then.
But that's a thing they do with records as well.
Yeah, so the Black Pumas released a Midnight's edition to their last album. That wasn't Diamonds. That was their first one, right? Or something like that.
I think Diamonds is the second
one. Okay, so whichever one it was.
I'm pretty sure the debut was just. Black Pumas.
Yeah. So the second one they did, and you got to release at midnight, and only participating record shops would open, and you got a limited amount of midnight one.
Okay.
I remember and that. He said that he only sold 3, and he sold completely out of the Taylor Swift ones. Dude. And like they actually were calling him to see if they could come pick up the Taylor Swift ones instead. Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, technically it is the next day. So yeah.
What was the coolest thing was when I went up to Baltimore. Before Harry's House came out, when me and Chloe went to this one record store in downtown, they were selling the physical copies of Harry's House already before it came out.
Yeah.
You can just buy it. That'd be some crazy shit, man, especially if it's an artist you actually really like.
Yeah.
I'm not personally into him, but I heard the record was good. I listened to some of the songs, but it was just cool.
I think he's good. I think Harry Styles is pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I like some... I know just the basic ones off.
Yeah.
But anyway, but yeah.
I like
cool.
2 songs from... Yeah.
Yeah, I like, yeah, I like some songs.
I like She. I think that's...
That's the other one. The second... album, I believe.
I just like that song.
I like the one that goes like do, 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 as it was. Yeah, yeah. That
one's
cool. That's how the song goes.
I know.
That,
no,
that's
I know
more than I know.
I know.
I know more
good.
About his first album than this one. So, but anyway, yeah. No, it's just cool to be able to have that option to buy an album before it even comes out.
Yeah, so he was talking about that, and I asked him, I was like, so what, like, out of artists, which are the ones that you should keep? And he said, Taylor Swift is, like, one of the main ones that you should keep. Yeah. He was like, it's hard for me to keep them in. And he was like, and I order a ton of them.
Record Bar has literally a whole fucking section of
Taylor Swift. And then he said that Tyler Childers, the country.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Luke Bryan?
Luke Bryan.
Is there another Bryan or anything?
Yeah. I don't know. They're all the same.
Yeah, so that. Which was funny because then we got on the conversation of almost like how, like, outlaw country is kind of coming back, except it's more of like a weird psychedelic hippie country, but it's like deeper. It's like, that's like Sturgill Simpson and shit. But like that's kind of like the new outlaw country. So, but it was interesting talking to him. I asked him, the first advice he gave me was don't do it. And I was like, look, man, I'm in restaurant business. Like,
it's too late.
Right. Like, I'm already doing what you're doing. And he was like, they've been open for 20 years. He's owned it for 20 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And he said that he's never changed his pay for 20 years. And he was like, if I worked by myself, I'd make probably good money. But I don't. So he's like, I just get a paycheck. And I was like, that's kind of fine with us. Like, and then and then he was like, us? And I was like, yeah, I got some other people that are wanting to do it.
Coffee, though, so it's a little bit.
Well, this one, I was...
Or that's what you're trying to do.
Right, like, so there's going to be, like, more aspects
to it.
Coffee
would be the profit, in my opinion. Like, that's where you're getting...
Well, see, and but, like, I have to... Well, it'll be the profit when I sell coffee, like, coffee beans and stuff, which I want to do. I want to have my own coffee brand.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
So, like, it would be... Because if we just sold coffee in the store, that would be something. But honestly, it'd be... It's, like, right now. Like, yes, it would be profitable, but, like, it's also... Mm-hmm. It's on the scent almost because everything's going to the cup, the bean, like you're doing all that stuff. But if I sell just a bag of coffee for $12, whichever pound, right, for how many ever pounds it is, most of that is profit.
Right.
Because I'm not using all this other stuff.
Talk to
Dan about it. Yeah, I talked to other people.
That's
what
I was
assuming
you got that stuff from.
So I've been trying to, you know, map it out like that. It could be good. It could be a really good thing.
You could always just go through Dan.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's the one to sell his stuff, but it's just a little too much.
It might be just too much for right now anyway, starting off.
Yeah.
Yeah, like later on maybe.
Well, if I don't know. No, it's a little too much. He wants like $200,000 for it.
Jeez.
That's like how much the store is. Yeah. I was like, eh, I'll trade you.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of funny.
No, we're not.
He'd just run through the staff.
Yeah, he would.
He probably would.
Probably would. He's like, you can't get away from me now.
Oh, that's so weird. That's so weird.
Just kidding, Dan.
Yeah. So let's get into it, man. So today, I'm sure as you can see by the name of the episode, we're getting into Planet X / Nibiru.
Yeah, Nibiru.
They are different and the same. Same, but
Nibiru
different.
It's like kind of like more like they call it Nibiru and they're talking about that it's ancient history. I feel like more,
mm-hmm.
and then Planet X is more of like now,
right?
Mm-hmm. So
we can kind of get into it, and I'm gonna get into a couple different sides of this. So we're gonna talk about kind of how this went, and for a long time, especially in just like older history of the cosmos, there's kind of always been speculation that there's another planet out there. You know, we obviously could, the ones that we can see all the planets up to Saturn with the naked eye. I think Uranus and Neptune with binoculars, but you know, you might want a telescope to really get something good. But with the naked eye, you can see all the way up to Saturn. You might be able to see up to Uranus, but I'm honestly not sure. Do you guys know off the top of your heads?
I am.
Naked eye is Uranus.
Okay, Uranus is the last one? Okay, so, but for the ancients, I want to say that they couldn't see it. It obviously was faint enough where they couldn't see distance or something. Because Uranus wasn't discovered until, like, the, I don't know. When was Uranus discovered? Like, 17-something? I probably should have just looked like... Oh, 1781. There we go. So Uranus was discovered in 1781. And
actually, today.
Really?
March 13th,
1781. Wow. How about that?
Wow, guys, look at that. Just some more synchronicity there, huh? So, Uranus was discovered accidentally on March 13th, 1781 by William Herschel. Now, one of the reasons why the theory, and people have been speculating that there's a larger planet outside of Uranus, which we do know that there is Neptune, which is around the same size as Uranus, but even larger than that, or further out than that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been popular theorized even since then, since the late 1700s, and that's because Uranus and Neptune have a different orbit around the sun. Mm-hmm. It's almost like interrupted. And for some reason, just both those planets have it. And then Pluto also, being a dwarf planet, actually everything out there kind of has a wonky orbit. But there's a theory out there called the Planet Nine Theory. And Caltech researchers have found mathematical evidence suggesting that there may be a Planet X deep in our solar system that has basically an orbit that kind of comes closer to the sun at times, but still is further at its closest point to the sun. It is still around 20 times further than Neptune is to the sun at its closest point. It is Neptune, or it's theorized to be Neptune sized. It is the orbit of the sun is a highly elongated orbit that's far beyond Pluto's. It could have a mass about 10 times Earth. The orbit is about 20 times further from the sun on average than Neptune's, and it takes anywhere between 10,000 to 20,000 Earth years to make one full orbit. And these are all theories, and there's a lot of theories, or different kinds of theories that also do different kind of lengths of orbits. I just want you guys to fucking think about that. A full orbit, 10,000 years around our own sun? Like, that's a long-ass time. Like, how long does it take the sun to orbit the Milky Way?
That's a... 1 second.
Okay. So, they use mathematical predictions that could explain the unique orbits of smaller objects in the Kuiper Belt. And that could have been anywhere from...
225 million years.
I got 240 for mine.
Nice.
So on average, 230.
The Kuiper Belt is a distant region of icy debris. It's somewhat donut-shaped. It's outside of Neptune's area. It extends far beyond that orbit of Neptune. And it is kind of like the asteroid field, but it's 20 times as wide as it, and it's 20 to 200 times as massive as our asteroid field, which, I mean, that's like honestly kind of the researching into Planet X or Nibiru has really kind of shown me how fucking vast.
Yeah, they said it's about 3 to 4 times bigger than Earth.
Oh, yeah, but I'm just saying like how vast areas of space.
Oh, yeah, you're just like, talking about how big things are.
Yeah, like it's crazy.
Yeah.
Researchers are actually looking for planets in the Kuiper Belt. And in January 2015, the Caltech astronomers, there's two of them, can't pronounce one of their names, but the other one's Mike Brown, announced new research that provides evidence of a giant planet tracing an unnatural elongated orbit into the outer solar system. Again, it's just based on detailed mathematics, which whenever I try to look that stuff up, it was kind of like it didn't really show it to me, and I'm not sure if it's just like... not like if the math's just unknown, like they're not telling people the math that they're using or what, but they put it into a computer simulator and a whole bunch of modeling. But so just off of computer simulating, the theory could be true that there is a larger outside planet in the outer solar system, but there has been no observation through any telescope or with the eye or anything like that. So this is just all a simulation. But I mean, like, it could be very... I mean, it could be real. Now out there in the Kuiper Belt, there are actually five orbits. Kuiper. Is it Kuiper? Is it? Okay. Yeah. And the Kuiper Belt, there are five orbits that Planet X could affect. And this area out in space, or this part of our solar system, is called Extreme Trans-Neptunian Object, or ETNO, which is ET and O for short. Pluto, Haumea, Orcus, Quire, and Makemake, and even maybe Sedna. And Sedna is a little extra one that I put in there, which I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with Sedna, but that is another dwarf planet that's outside of our, in that area. And it's actually so far out there that they think that it's on the edge of the Oort cloud, which, and they actually think, so Sedna could actually be the first discovered object in the Oort cloud, or at least on the edge of it. But there is a discovery of VP113, and it is, it's not, so Sedna used to be thought as unique because of its orbit and everything. But apparently, because of the discovery of VP113, and then also paying attention to these other dwarf planets, they realize that this is kind of just outside of that. It's starting to become more natural. Are you okay with the mosquito? It's a male mosquito. It's not going to bite you.
I know. It just keeps touching me.
Sorry.
So that entire class of objects is just called Sednoids.
Oh, really? That's crazy. So, it's really cool, though, because I like the whole, like, Oort cloud. And I've heard a lot about the Oort cloud, but I've never really looked into it. It's super cool. So, we're actually going to get back into the Oort cloud in a little bit. But while I was researching the Oort cloud, I wanted to see a picture or, like, a diagram of, like, where it kind of was within our solar system. Like, how far away is it?
Yeah.
And I want to say Voyager, one of the Voyager missions is still very far away from it, but like on a galactic scale, it's knocking on the door, you know? One of them is. Whichever one passed Neptune and Pluto.
They're both passed.
Yeah. Well, one I think went up, and the other one is like exiting out, the like straight out our six.
That'd be two.
Okay. So they're saying it's pretty far out there. But Alpha Centauri is just outside the Oort cloud. And as of right now, the James Webb Telescope has upcoming observations placed and planned for that area. And I'm actually really excited about that whole star system being looked at. However, I am a little upset still with that picture that it took of the moon of Saturn. It was very blurry. I'm still a little upset about it.
I know which one you're talking about.
Like, I just kind of feel like it should be a little clearer, right? Like, do you know what I'm talking about? That one. It's not Titan, is it? No,
Titan's a moon.
Yeah, but isn't Titan a Jupiter moon? I don't know. Which one is it? I like how it still just has not said the name of the fucking moon.
It is Titan.
Oh, okay, shit. There you go. Maybe, damn, look at me. I should just be confident. And, but yeah, so I am excited about that, and I think that could be something really neat. Now, I was looking at other possibilities, and I actually saw a super Earth, not a super Earth theory, but I kind of put it down as a super Earth theory. Because it's going to tie in more so with, yeah, dude, like, isn't that kind of crazy?
That's like, that right there is like the maximum projected range of it.
Right, I know. But like, I'm saying, like, isn't that, even say it's down to here. Like, that's still, like, as a galactic kind of view of it, like, damn, right? And it is Voyager 1, bitch. Voyager 2 is the one that I guess went up.
Yeah, I was about to say, you said Voyager 2, I was like, that sounds like more like 1.
I couldn't remember which one. Yeah. I just knew Voyager 2 was first, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, but yeah, so I kind of went with this possible super Earth theory. If you guys have paid attention to a lot of the exoplanets that we've been discovering, we've been finding a lot of super Earth-like planets mm-hmm. that are outside of the Goldilocks zone now. And yeah. they're like the gold, like that zone. And, you know, now they theorize that other gravitational forces are pulling them in or whatever. But, like, maybe Planet X could be another source of life or something, you know, something like that. Maybe not now, but the reason why I came up with this theory was because we're going to get into Nibiru, which I want to go ahead and clarify. Nibiru is not Nemesis. I did see Nemesis come up a lot through my very star little arts. Dabbling. Yeah, no, what's funny about that is Nemesis is the sister star of Sol, which is our sun. I can't remember. Was it a brown dwarf?
It would be a brown dwarf.
Brown dwarf, yeah. So now Nibiru is Akkadian language, meaning crossing or transition. There is a theory called the Nibiru Cataclysm, which is going to be a collision or a near miss of our planet and Nibiru, either colliding or, you know, near missing in our orbits. It first came up in 1995, with Nancy Leder. She's the founder of Zeta Talk. She claims to be a contactee with the ability to receive messages from ETs from the Zeta Reticuli system, which there's that system again.
Crazy figure.
She is.
You hear about the Starburst story?
No.
That's how.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, so basically, from what I heard, is like she officially knew that she was basically a prophet whenever she opened up a Starburst, you know, like little packets that they have, like the Starburst yeah. packets. And one Starburst was not packed.
Oh.
One Starburst was not wrapped. It was just,
yeah.
just raw Starburst.
Raw Starburst?
Yeah.
Yeah, but so this lady, she has this whole site, and you guys can go on Twix, and you guys yeah. can see all this stuff, right?
Yeah, she's
so Zeta Talk is a site, or is a... it's an account on Twitter, and I follow it, and yeah. dude, it's fucking crazy because it's all talking about prophecies and like all this shit coming to life, and it brings up the April 8th eclipse and how that it's going to be like that's actually going to be like Nibiru, and how Nibiru is going to cause like a major polar shift, and how all this shit's going to happen, and like how the Americas are going to break apart. Where we currently live, we're going to be underwater. So, you know.
Oh, well.
It happens. As Skipper said today, why worry about death? You know? And you know, this is why whenever we took our personality test, this man was the happiest.
But that was also, what, like 6 years ago?
Are you telling me that it might be a little different?
I'm saying that was 6 years ago.
I'm saying
I
that
don't I... don't think it was that long ago. Let's say 20... When was it, 2020?
I think it was...
Okay, so time is relevant. I don't think so. No, because...
It wasn't...
18, no, because we did it with Colin.
18, 19.
Or right after Colin. And he was living with me still.
Yeah. I left his place in 2020.
Yeah. And we had our old couch. Like, the old couch. Yeah. It's like this. The fabric one.
That's right.
Yeah. Because...
It's been a hot minute.
Yeah, it really has been. And it was because after... We did it because you guys did with Colin.
Right.
And then, like, Colin was, like, the most depressed, wasn't he?
Yeah.
What I'm hearing is we need to take this test again.
Yeah. I took that political test again.
Mine hasn't changed a whole lot.
I don't even remember which guy I sided with because it was, like, 2%. There's nobody that is for me. And I was the most middle. It just literally was just like middle.
Speaking of that, did you see RFK?
Which thing about RFK? About his father's autopsy? Because no, that's fucking crazy.
I didn't see anything about that.
Because that's his, fucking crazy.
Who he reached out to for VP.
Fucking Aaron Rodgers? You can't vote for him. You know that, right?
Oh, absolutely not.
Like... You know, I was okay with RFK until his... There's three things that really fuck with me with RFK.
His voice.
No, not even, man.
That I was can originally do... your fuck. That was you're like I tried listening to it, Darius.
No, 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 no. Let me. Okay, this is no. This is what it. This is what I found out. I can do a scripted RFK any day. If he has a script in front of him, he can talk, and his voice is fine. Like his commercials are fine with his voice, right?
Sure.
But when he's on Joe Rogan or he's on shows and it's not prompted or anything, and he has to kind of come up with his own words, it gets a little hard. And it gets a little, and it's, you know, it's not his fault, right? Like, no, it's not. But my three main problems with him is, one, he's jumping back and forth too much with his whole vaccine stuff. Yeah. Two, his climate control stuff. Or I don't know. And then three, he wanted to take guns away. And that's just a no bueno, you know?
Yeah.
He can't be taking people's rights away. So I won't vote for him. And honestly, like, I'm surprised with how big of an advocate Aaron Rodgers is for him.
It's because of the more out there ideas, I'm assuming.
I think Aaron Rodgers is only out there for one reason, and that's his vaccine thing, but he's already rolled back on the vaccine thing. So
I don't know about enough about either of them politically to really care.
Well,
he's not gonna win.
No. No. And I think I've been still looking into the libertarian guy. But I probably, honestly, for president, I don't know if I'm gonna. I don't know. You know? Like, I really don't know. I may not. Maybe I'll just vote for Charlie Day.
Charlie Day, the actor.
Yeah, I don't know. Fucking, you know who I'm going to vote for? Kenny fucking Powers. That's who I'm going to fucking vote for, just like that. Kenny fucking Powers. Oh, shit.
Which libertarian? Hornberger?
No.
The
one running.
Mike. There's a lot of them on here.
Right? Oh, really? Is there any from the actual party? Like the...
I don't know.
Okay, we'll get to that later. But yeah, so going back to Nibiru. Now, the Nibiru Cataclysm is something that is still being, like I said, talked about today. It's been associated with these pole changes that are going to happen. And apparently this is what caused Pangaea and other really huge pole changes in continental shift flood. To happen. Some
people connect to the Great Flood.
Yeah, so... and so
they connected to the asteroid belt and then...
Right, so the, which we can get into that. So we're going to get into this thing called the 12th planet. And basically, this is more of the mythology kind of side and the ancient alien kind of side of Nibiru. And the Sumerian and Babylonian kind of text.
Yeah.
The Anunnaki deities, the Anunnaki, are they deities of Sumerians or are they aliens from Nibiru?
Bird people.
Well, that's weird that you said that, because when we looked at the Anunnaki, that's kind of how we saw them, right? Like bird people?
Yeah.
Well, apparently, they're more of a species of reptilian humanoid.
Avians are roughly
I can reptilian. See that. No, I understand that. But in this more theory, Planet X or Nibiru is home to the Anunnaki. Their orbit comes close to Earth, and when they came to Earth because their orbit was so close to ours, and they forced the Sumerians to mine for gold because the planet of Nibiru's atmosphere was depleting, and gold was something that was in their atmosphere that like helped them with something, or the dust could.
Yeah.
It was almost like a healing factor. It could have been a frequency thing. I don't know. But we do know from radiation and stuff that gold does help the block radiation, so it could have also maybe because of how close it was. If this is real, let's think about it. Like, if we're coming into Earth, it's almost like a comet getting close to the sun, right? Which probably explains why the Zeta Talk people say that the moon is turning red is because of the atmosphere of Nibiru is heating up. Because it's coming closer to the sun, so it's emitting like a tail, somewhat like a comet. And the moon is, the poles are picking that up, which we talked about not too long ago about the moon is turning red. Most things that I see about it, though, like, it's just too exaggerated. Like, you know, like, the red is something that's not quite, like, you have to really, you'd almost have to be there to really see it. And then also for photographs, everything's just too saturated. Like they're almost painting it red.
Yeah.
For you to see where it is turning red. But it's all exaggerated. So, it's not blood red. No, it's not a prophecy yet or prophecy fulfilled or anything like that. But yes, the moon is getting rusty. But that could take, if it starts getting rusty pretty fast, then maybe I will start thinking about that a little bit more. But other than that, I feel like this is just natural. There are different, look at the moons all around our solar system. I mean, you know, it's really crazy the different colors that we got out there. I mean, shit, we got Mars that is red, and then you have, I'm pretty sure Sedna might be red. I could be wrong, or maybe it's far, far out, which is a dwarf planet. And I'm sorry, Sedna's not the furthest planet out. It's far, far out, which is approximately a 700-year orbit. But it also crosses the Neptune orbit, which is interesting. But we don't know too much about far, far out yet because we just kind of discovered it. Its name is kind of funny, though, like Far, Far Out. Yeah. It doesn't even
There's also a Far Out.
Yeah, that's why they named it Far, Far Out, because it's further than Far Out.
Far Out, man.
So going back to the Anunnaki, the species, like I said, was apparently a reptilian humanoid, and they helped develop writing and math, which we know that comes from the Sumerians. Zechariah Sitchin is the author of The 12th Planet, and he has tons of books explaining these origins involving these ancient aliens. And like I said, the TV show Ancient Aliens literally starts because of Nibiru. Nibiru is also, with Planet X, is one of the first Coast to Coast episodes I really remember, which is also funny because the Zeta Talk people and Nancy Leiter, or Leiter, yeah. I don't know, was very into the Mayan prophecies.
Yeah, it also leads to 2012.
It does. So, like 2012 was a really big year for Planet X and Nibiru.
2003.
And apparently again today. Like, this year. Apparently it's really big. Now, Sitchin thinks that it's a 3,600-year-long elliptical orbit around the sun, which matches more what you, like, with the Great Flood kind of theories and things. It's really interesting. Like, this guy has so many books. I mean, he has, I think it's 15 in total books about this stuff. And I have the first one, right. The 12th Planet. I do have the first one, but I have not read any of it yet.
Next book, 13th Planet.
Yeah. 13th Planet. Basically, these books tie the so events of the Bible, Babylonian mythology, and cosmology, including Sumerian. A collision between Mars... Or a collision of a planet between Mars and Jupiter, which is the asteroid belt. And it was between Nibiru, which was had a different name with Babylonians. I think it was Murdoch. Something like that. And then I honestly didn't write down the other planet, but it started with a T.
Tiamat.
So they're basically named after Samaritan gods. Now, half of it formed Earth, or possibly... Our moon was a satellite of Nibiru's, mm-hmm. and we just attracted it with our gravitational fields, and the other half became the asteroid belt. The collision also caused, which comes back to the whole ETNOs. The collision caused Pluto, which was considered to be one of Saturn's moon, to be pushed out into the outer solar system, and that is the reason why its orbit intersects with Neptune, but it also just seems like a lot of them in the Kuiper belt intersects with Neptune anyways, which is the main theory of why Neptune was truly where those were satellites of Neptune, and they've been getting taken away, which could be the reason why Planet X, you know, could exist. That could be a reason why those dwarf planets or moons even, because fuck, isn't Pluto smaller than our moon?
Just a little bit, yeah.
Hey, inches matter, man. So, no, that's like, I think that's really interesting that they think that. And actually, there are two moons. To give you an example of, so between Jupiter and the Kuiper Belt, it's literally filled with moons. Like the space between, I mean, there's hundreds of moons between Jupiter and Saturn. And then Uranus and Neptune have a few.
I'm pretty sure Jupiter is right around 100 on its own.
That's what I was saying, hundreds.
Yeah.
and Saturn has the most. And they're, I don't even know. I mean, they're still discovering things for both planets, right? So I think when it comes to that, when I looked at a map of the orbits of those planets, in particular's moons, there's a couple of them. Two, for instance, with Phoebe for Saturn and Triton for Neptune, both of those are literally on the edge of the Kuiper Belt. And people are thinking that, scientists think that both of those moons were possible dwarf planets or created in that belt in that system, and that those planets' gravitational pull is just pulling them. And but it has to deal with just that weird, the elliptical orbit of Saturn and Neptune's.
So what about Phoebe and?
So if they think Phoebe and Triton were created in the Kuiper Belt, and that Neptune pulled Triton down, and that Saturn pulled Phoebe down. And they also think the Kuiper Belt could be where a lot of comets and stuff just originate anyways. But the moons outside of past the asteroid belt, people think that they come from the Kuiper Belt.
It's either the Oort cloud or the Kuiper Belt, yeah.
Right, and the Oort cloud is still theorized, really.
Yeah.
Which I love, because the Oort cloud's been... this has been one of those things that I've been really interested in for a while. But it is, you know, it's... Sitchin thought that, thought... everything was happening because the Sumerians, God's given conception of the solar system, counted all eight planets, Pluto, the sun, and the Earth's moon. And it really was, it's interesting when you look at that, especially since with the naked eye, you can't see Neptune. So this is where the 12th planet comes in. So that solar system, that star map that they created, it counts the sun as a planet, the moon as a planet, and then there is another planet in between Mars and Jupiter. And this is an old star map, but it also has Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune. They also have
Earth as
planet and Pluto. Seven. What's that?
They have Earth as planet number seven.
No, it would be, so we would go Sun, Mercury, Venus,
Earth. Are you talking about one we were looking at earlier?
Yeah.
So, at least the way it's kind of depicted, there is no Earth yet, because the collision with...
Oh, wait, yeah.
The collision between Nibiru and Tiamat hadn't happened yet.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And they technically didn't collide, it was Nibiru's moons kind of smacking into Tiamat.
Yeah. Gotcha. Which is a reason why they talk about our moon. Right here. Oh, yeah, not that. That's not the one I'm talking about.
The one you're talking about?
No, I'm sorry. I'm talking about an actual plaque that they found, that they discovered there. Oh, okay. It shows, it's like a an artifact. Can I go down? Go up a little?
Is it this guy?
Where is it?
Sumerian star map?
No. I should have wrote down what it was. I had to update my computer, so I closed my tabs out. I just kind of... I saw the map. It's... Here, click on that. Let's see.
It's not a star map.
I know, but... Well, it has the...
It's not loading. It's what it's doing.
I'm expecting... So these people are like... It looks like the Anunnaki. And then... Okay. Hold on. Sorry, guys. So think of these people as the Anunnaki, and that right there would probably be it. But that's not... This isn't exactly what I was
looking at, but this
is something that I've seen. What I was looking at was more...
like what you were looking at the distance, and we saw like the Oort cloud and all that. It was more like that, but it looked like it was on like a plaque. It was like chiseled out. But it is still like really interesting that the Sumerians had such complex knowledge already about like our solar system, and they were literally like the earliest civilization that we really know of.
It looks like this is the main one. Yeah. So we can, let's just use this. I saw something else with this, but it's called the Sumerian VA-243 tablet. And it shows, actually, I mean, this is kind of neat because it shows our whole solar system.
And you're talking about the one it looks like.
And it shows us even orbiting the sun.
This one?
Yeah, that's what we're looking at right now. So that's something that's super, which actually I think, Darius, when we did the Flat Earth episode, I think we talked about that and like how very ancient civilizations had the knowledge that we were orbiting the sun.
We were in fact round.
So this, you know, and the other connection that Sitchin had was that the Anunnaki is mentioned in the Bible, and that he thinks the Nephilim. Or the Nephilim, mm-hmm. could be the Anunnaki, but also the Anunnaki as people, which we do know was a people, mm-hmm. is also mentioned in the Bible, and they were known to be advanced. So I don't know. To be completely honest with you guys, I think Planet X. I definitely think that there could be a planet in our outer solar system that is as big as Neptune. That is affecting other orbits in our solar system. However, I don't necessarily believe in the Zeta Talk Nibiru situation. To be completely honest with you,
multiple times that's failed.
Right,
like May in 2003 failed. 2012 failed. One time I think in 1990. Yeah, no, I think the first one was 2003. That was the main one that she failed with. But
yeah, I just think that
she actually said that. I think what she said when people were like, what do you... So she gave the date, right? May... I don't have it on here. But yeah, it was May 2003. And then whenever it didn't happen and people were like, why didn't it happen? She was like, well, they would never give us the actual date because it would cause so much panic on Earth.
Then why did you give us a date and cause panic on Earth?
That's all I'm saying. And then she was like, it's actually going to be like later on. And I think that's what led to the late 2000s, the 2012 one.
Right.
So...
I don't buy the Nibiru.
Turns out there are 12 years off is this year.
Catastrophe with it. Well, you never know. I mean, we have the leap year shit going on. There's a lot of different. We went from a older moon calendar to a sun calendar, right? Mm-hmm. So like, I think that when you look at some things, like sure, maybe old things don't translate exactly into this, but. If it's a prophecy, could you go ahead and assume that the prophecy already knew things were going to change? You know, it's kind of like the same scenario when, well, I don't want to get into that stuff, but with the Nibiru stuff, I don't see that. I don't think it's impossible for an orbit to end up coming, like that literally, think of that asteroid that came outside of the... named after the Hawaiian deity, or
you're talking about
Awanahana, or the
Awana.
No, the
you're talking about Oumuamua.
Oumuamua, yeah. Oumuamua.
The shit looking one.
Yeah, sure.
The like one that looks like shit.
Yeah. So the Oumuamua, when that was coming in.
Yeah, I think I got that right.
Think of how many orbits that passed through and then took off again, like back out, right?
Yeah.
So like, yes, I think like say here is like. The sun, we got the Earth, Mars and stuff. Do I think it's crazy that it could come in, fuck with shit, and then swing back out? Yeah, I don't see why that's not possible. It's just unlikely for me with Nibiru still.
Yeah, basically, they just describe it as a planet that can, like, move around. Like, it's, like, constantly traveling through.
And this whole orbit is just cutting through.
Like, it's Cybertron?
fucking up shit, like, just constantly.
Well, actually, I guess Cybertron wasn't... Cybertron was a Transformer, but... You're talking about Unicron.
Unicron, yeah.
But...
Yeah, one of the ones, because there's actually multiple versions of the story when you're, like, looking...
No, there is. No, there definitely is, guys.
The guy was describing that, and this guy, like, seemed like he knew his stuff. Like, he was, like, super... He was even wearing a suit in the video, you know? He was... He was all, like,
that makes it more believable.
Yeah, it does. He just had to put the suit on. But no, he like said that Nibiru had clashed into Earth's moon and caused like the actual, like, that's why there's still, you know, asteroids going around. And
Wait, what?
Yeah, dude, it just got into like some, I can't look, I don't even want to describe it because I can't do it, I'm not going to do it justice, okay?
I think you're just talking about the crash that we talked about that made the asteroid belt.
It might be the same one.
Yeah. I mean, there's not too many...
I don't think so, though, because he went into, like, a little bit different direction with it. Like, maybe so. I don't know. He may have just put in different words. That.
It was suit words, you know?
It was suit
words. It was zoot suit words. Yeah. The zoot suit riot. But like I said, I think that when it comes down to it, I definitely believe that there could be more... exoplanets in our own solar system. Well, I don't know.
It's not an exoplanet.
Yeah, I was going to say it's not technically an exoplanet. An outer planet.
Undiscovered planets.
Yeah, but like how would it, in the outer solar system.
A neoplanet.
That. In the outer solar system, I think
speaking
that could be
of
a thing.
Neo.
I mean, they already had the what was it? The Etno?
Yeah.
The E. I already forgot what it stood for.
Oh, you're talking about...
the trans-Neptune
object. Yeah, what about them?
Oh, just
yeah, like
a bunch of those.
Right, we have them, but they're dwarf planets. But I'm saying a more...
bigger planet.
Yeah, like a Neptune-sized planet.
And the four times bigger.
So, because they were trying...
How the fuck we missed a Neptune
four times bigger than Earth. It's so
well, it's pretty far away. But here... But
That was one of the arguments in the guy's video. He's like, how in the fuck...
No,
so many astrometers.
No, what it would be is we're just not looking at the right time, at the right place, at the right time.
Right.
Because this, like, we have to, like, with how far out it is, there. I mean, there is a lot of
stuff. The movement's gonna be faint. You have to be looking at the right space.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, right, and you have to be. So you basically you would have had to already almost find its orbit, and then know where it's going to be. And then you start taking long exposure shots of it, and you basically watch it faintly move through the sky.
Yeah, a lot of times it just disappears.
Right, which means... So that means weather has to be correct. Like, there's so many factors that have to be correct. And again, you have to be looking at it through a telescope, not with your naked eye, because, you know, Uranus is the last one you can see with the naked eye,
and it's barely.
So, I mean... We can't even see Neptune. And then Pluto was discovered weirdly. And
pretty
like,
much by accident.
Most of them probably are by accident, really. But
what the fuck is that?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, when we look at the sky, like even the James Webb telescope, when it's looking at the sky, like a foot on a picture for us, right? A foot, a one by one picture. I mean, it contains so much space in that. I mean, it literally, like, your brain, like, I can't even wrap around it right now. How much, like, it's almost infinite. It's just depth. So, like...
If I remember the quote correctly, it was like, if you held a grain of sand on the tip of your finger at arm's length, the amount of space that covers has, like, hundreds, whatever, galaxies, like, hidden behind it.
Yep. However, there's still more... sand on Earth than there is stars observable with like the naked eye, which is incredible.
Observable with the naked eye, yes.
I mean, it's still crazy. That's a lot of fucking stars.
It's a lot of fucking sand.
It is. I actually think
there's
that
more galaxies in space than there are grains of sand on Earth.
Right. So, which is even crazier.
We're also a grain of sand.
Yeah,
in
we are.
Grand
we're just
scheme of things.
You know, one of my favorite quotes from the one of our older 21st century prophets, Eminem. I'm just a shit stain on the underwear of life.
So you gotta lose yourself.
So, what do you guys think?
Snap back to reality.
I needed the guys to know your opinion on Planet X. Okay, so
Real quick, though, I guess Planet X and Nibiru can be considered the same thing. Because at occasion, they do kind of cross.
They're put together. They're combined, same group.
Yeah, same so package. It seems like Planet X is more so for people who think of the Planet 9 or 10 theory.
Yeah.
So it just depends on... So Planet X is for people who believe in that Pluto's a fucking planet. And then Planet 9 theory is for people who do not... Who just... Pluto's a dwarf planet.
Right, because you can't call it Planet X if it's only Planet 9.
Right.
Unless, you can call it Planet X as in undiscovered.
Right.
Yeah.
But not Roman numeral.
Yeah, no, we don't need those.
Planet IX.
And then... Nibiru is more for the ancient alien side of things.
Nibiru, yeah. Nibiru is like ancient aliens, essentially. Because ancient aliens, I feel like, covers it like every season.
So I need to know your guys' opinion on Planet X, Nibiru, and then I'm interested in the 12th planet theory as well. Because I'm not going to lie, I think the asteroid belt was a planet at one time. Or at least, what I mean by that is it could have been a failed planet. Like, it may not have completely formed or something. But, like, I do believe that either something got fucked up.
Wasn't good at shop class.
Or between the gravitational pull of the sun and Jupiter, it could just never form. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mars and Earth got fucked up. And the rest of it just got thrown out.
So... Whichever one of you two want to speak first.
Planet X. Not going to be Planet X, be Planet 9. Planet IX, so...
Fuck you, Pluto's a planet.
Pluto's a fucking planet.
I don't remember a time where it was, but, you know, anyway.
God damn it.
I actually saw that it said no matter what, you know, depending on where you were, Pluto's either a planet, it's a dwarf planet, or it's a star. we can never figure it out with Pluto.
It's its own thing.
Because at one time, Pluto was actually considered Planet X. And Nibiru, actually. So
yeah,
it's like,
I saw that, yeah. And then they saw it and they were like, that ain't it.
Right, it's too small.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Yeah, they discredited because it's too small.
But yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say for another planet, I mean, that's obviously any day we can discover, like, whoa, looks like there's another planet.
Wow.
That's fucking crazy.
Wow.
Nibiru. Wow. Interesting one.
Needs more cowbells.
I like to look more into the actual Anunnaki, you know, stuff. Maybe within the Nibiru, detached from it for a little bit.
Clearly, I don't know if you can detach the Anunnaki from Nibiru.
Nibiru.
That's
Nibiru,
its
like,
home.
Because I've never looked at much of the Anunnaki, so they're always just connected. Like,
they essentially ride the planet up to Earth, mess around with humans for a bit, and then they ride the planet back.
I need to rewatch the movie Ancient Aliens from 2009. Because, you know, it was a movie before the TV
shows.
Yeah,
that's special.
This special whenever, yeah. So there's that. No, I don't necessarily believe in... it's a hard one because it's a very fun theory though too. You know what I mean? But I need to look more into it in order to like get my own opinion on it. And then what was the third question?
The 12th planet, the book series, but like just that theory about there being another planet in between Mars and Jupiter. You can tell me your opinions on the way that the back half of the solar system got formed with if Pluto did, you know, get thrown out. Because of that, or you can just ignore it, doesn't matter. You just say, you know, you don't believe in the Anunnaki stuff, and maybe the planet in between Mars and Jupiter, that's up to you.
Sirius? Sirius? What is it called?
Well, Sirius FM?
No, it's like Ceres.
Ceres?
Ceres.
Like in the asteroid belt?
Yeah.
What about it?
It's a dwarf planet.
Yeah, it's like a big asteroid.
There could be. I don't know.
It's like a big asteroid.
It could be. I don't know. I gotta look.
Yeah,
like
classified
I said,
as a dwarf planet.
I actually was on NASA. Oh, also by the way, a lot of my sources for Planet X was actually from NASA. Right.
Yeah, they got a lot of stuff.
So now I know a lot of people don't trust NASA, but you know, it'd be what it be.
Yeah. No. I first discovered Nibiru through watching YouTube live broadcast back in like from like 2014 to 2017. For some reason, I'd always get these notifications that Planet X and Nibiru episodes were going on live. And on the episode, the guy would be like, look, SpaceX, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, Planet X? He's like connecting like things that are not even like you would...
It's just all the X's right now.
Yeah,
that's a lot of
X,
the big shit right
and
now.
And then like you just...
Just like the, so another theory is with the eclipse that's happening on April 8th.
Yeah, I've been hearing all
that. It intersects with the 2017 one and makes an X.
Lines do that.
They do. Intersecting lines sometimes make crosses.
Which, I don't actually remember what part of this story was mentioning it, but didn't they reference the actual planet as a cross, or like it appeared as like a cross in the sky at one point?
Somebody said something like that, but I think that that just goes back to more like the Meso times. Okay. Gotcha. It's just the ancient alien theories, but then that gets, again, that gets dragged back so into
detached from the ancient alien,
the 12th place. Planet stuff. You know, that stuff's really interesting. I think the reason why I like the 12th touch
on the ancient alien episode.
I just think I like the 12th planet stuff and the ancient alien stuff because how much is still unknown and how, like, the mystery behind it. Like, maybe that's the inner human in me wanting to be discovering things still. Like, Skipper, how long ago did we talk about how, like, you know, we were born at the wrong times. Like, there's not really nothing to be discovered anymore. So, like, I think when it comes to this stuff and these topics, like, ancient, especially with the ancient shit, I'm, like, really invested. And I think it's because I think a lot of it is either, you know, misconstrued or a lie. Like, just boldface. But, I don't know. Like, I mean, don't you guys want to keep discovering shit? Yeah. So, I mean, like, I think that, and, you know, there literally may be nothing for me to even find. And that's okay. Because at least I feel like I'm looking for something. At least I'm putting my time into something. As long as it doesn't drive me too crazy. Hopefully, some of the stuff I'm looking into doesn't. But I got to tell you guys about one of these. This Christopher Columbus theory I'm on.
Oh, Christopher Columbine.
Not that one. All right.
Planet X, yeah. I believe in the possibility of that. There's a lot of stuff we don't know outside of our solar system.
Shit, there's still a lot of stuff we don't know about. It's
inside the solar system.
It's the outer. I'm telling you, man, this is the whole reason even with like Pluto and those other dwarf planets. Neptune is truly would be the end of our real solar system. Everything outside of that start being affected by so many other variables
Right.
In other parts.
We haven't expanded our solar system.
So, yet, like, Jupiter. To
include X, yeah.
Right, so, discovered. Like, the sun kind of, like, Jupiter really so kind of pulls in with.
So, your, I guess, definition of the solar system would be solely influenced by the sun.
Correct. Which I think I'm pretty sure that is the definition.
I mean, I honestly don't know the exact definition.
I think it's in the root word of solar. Lur. Leader of the Omicron versus I hate. No, but I do think that, like, for me, that is how I'm going to look at it. Outside of that, I think that it's even, like, looking at Earth's orbit, right? Like, we don't really get into outer space until, like, what? Like, halfway between us and the moon. Yeah. And even then, the moon is still really into, like, it's, well, it's actually out a little outside. It's like right on the cusp of it because it is leaving us. So, I mean, that is being affected by a whole other force. Possibly Jupiter, I would assume.
I mean, it's just orbital speeds.
There is a theory that Jupiter is a failed star. So that's why
I actually don't think that's a theory. I think that it's true. I think that,
because it had the right chemicals and gases, but it just didn't ignite.
Well, it's not massive enough.
Yeah. Well, what I like to think of is look at a lot of the star clusters out there, kind of like Alpha Centauri or just the Centauri star cluster in general. There's three of them. Mm-hmm. Okay, so our sun is a binary star, but we don't really. It's still theorized, right? So we have the Nemesis.
Sure.
Okay, Jupiter could have been that third star system. And let's say in the midst of becoming a star, making a star, think of it as twins in the womb, or even triplets maybe in the room if it's triplet, or if it was the failed sister star to the sun.
The sun ate the baby.
Right, but like think of it as it took more of the nutrients, and Jupiter
is a dead sun in itself. It never even existed, but that's kind of how, like, I would look at it, but I like that theory, is that, like, because I don't, Nemesis is definitely a theory. Like, I don't know, I haven't even, there is evidence to it, but I don't, we don't know yet, right? So, but Jupiter, we know a bit.
Yeah.
And it does seem like Jupiter was a failed star system. But what I was going to put on that is because it is somewhat close to our sun still, but I think in those development stages, maybe there's a little bit more that happens, and those expansions. So, like, say, like, Jupiter did turn more into, like, say it was turning into the sun. Maybe when it starts expanding and that density happens, the gravitational waves push.
If that makes sense. It would only be a red dwarf. It wouldn't have.
Well, you're right. It'd have been the same as the sun, or in the same family as the sun. So, I mean, I don't know. It was just a theory, which most things in space kind of are. But, like, because I don't know. I don't know if we've really ever studied a planet that isn't, that we know for sure could have been a sun. Because, I mean, like, yes, the Jupiter has all the bright capabilities of the of becoming a sun. But
it didn't have the mass.
Right, but, I mean, we have the same elements in us that create stars. You go up
there with a lighter.
I mean, you said it.
But you know what I mean? Like, we have the elements. We are star children. So, I mean, like,
star child.
Good morning, starshine.
Sun says, hello.
I like the sun.
I like the trees.
I like the
sun. What do you think of the 12th planet theory? Or just the book in general?
The whole Pluto thing was...
That was a little out there. It was ejected, but I mean, that's... You know, when I first heard that, I was like, wow, that's kind of crazy to think about. But I mean, at the same time, it's kind of like... right?
Why are you out there?
Why you be out there? But then it also... There's a lot out there, I think. Yeah. I don't know if Pluto was a moon of Saturn. I think that if it belonged to any of the planets, it would have probably been Neptune.
If it had a reason to be there.
Right.
It would be anything.
Right.
Same with the other dwarf planets out there.
They could have all been part of Neptune. Right. Yeah. But you see how those were ejected? That's what I'm kind of thinking. Like, what if Jupiter... What if they did have these pulses, right? And then, like, gravitational, almost like... Mm-hmm. Almost like density waves or something. I don't know.
Like, you kind of see what I'm trying to say?
Think of us at work with the table. And I'm making that black hole again.
Dude, come on. Man, you always dream of this black hole in a fucking brick.
Okay, so you know the star's forming, right?
It's coming.
Okay, so you have to imagine that it's probably having gravitational waves. Like, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Because, again, I've never seen a star not fully developed. I don't know if we've ever seen that. I've actually never looked into the science of that.
There was a supernova, I believe, in the 80s, and we actually just pointed James Webb at it, and we can see that it formed a neutron star in, like, the midst of it.
Oh, shit.
Okay. But
that happened billions
of pulses.
Years ago.
Neutron stars, yes.
Right. But I'm saying, so, like, at the beginning of a star, though, being created, the dust getting wrapped up, everything kind of coming together... Like, so the density's not there yet, but it's like kind of like, it's almost like, think of it being clay and it's being molded, but with each like kind of molding of the clay, that's the gravity forming it, right? Coming together. And then with it being formed, I kind of think that it's putting energy out, and the energy from gravity being put out, I would assume would also possibly be gravity. So I don't know. Like, I could see, like, I'm just saying, could the planets, like, if that was being developed like that, could that have been ejecting those moons that maybe didn't have the right density to sit where it was, or that the orbit changed so much
if we're ejecting further out? Things, what seems more likely is the orbit was more elliptical at one point,
mm-hmm.
and when it came off, like, its close approach, just the speed from the planet... it imparted the speed onto the moon and then slingshotted it off.
Right. So, like, if I had to actually assume what it was, which we talked about a little earlier about how Pluto got there, is what I think that, like, you know, it was
the same way that we launch our satellites further out, how we slingshot. Right. So when we, like right now, I was looking at a couple of satellites that are heading out into the solar system, but they're still very in like Earth's atmosphere. Or not, sorry, not atmosphere, but it like out just a little
sphere
bit.
Sphere of influence.
Right. So it seems like it's going to go from us into Venus, and it's going to launch into this by
go
around
in
the
before
sun.
It goes out.
Yep, and then it'll and then the sun's going to bend it where it needs to go. Yeah. And I kind of think of that satellite, like I think the moon's kind of hit that way too. So I think in the early days of these planets being formed and these moons being formed, say Saturn and Jupiter or other Uranus and Neptune had closer approaches to each other, and those gravitational pulls maybe had been stronger than, say, like Jupiter's was stronger than Saturn's, so it stole some Saturn's stuff, or vice versa, or anything with Uranus and Neptune as well. So I don't know, just something like that. Say like Planet X.
Describing it like that is, I would say, a bit more plausible.
Okay, yeah. So like that's how I would see it if I would actually give my thing. But the reason why I was talking about Jupiter kind of giving energy waves off or anything like that is because like I don't know how it feels. Like I don't know how a developing star not fully forming, if that's even a thing, which we have to assume is, because I do think
it
Jupiter
just
is
kind
that
of gathers enough mass and then ayo, there we go.
Oh yeah, I know. I understand because I like black holes, but like.
We're on the low end of that.
So I know we are.
We haven't gotten to that part yet.
Well, it builds up. That's what I was saying. I like black holes, so I kind of know the timeline of black holes, and I know I like the 3D models of gravity. I like to think that, you know, I get to become the
putting a weight on a trampoline.
Yeah, but like, really more so at work. Like I just that's how, you know. So anytime that I'm ever doing that motion, you can at least think.
Even then, that's not gravity.
I know. That's the best part. It has nothing to do with gravity. It was more the forces. I was, you know, almost thinking of like a water droplet in a sense. Like dropping and then the waves around it. But then it coming back. Expansion and then retraction. And then implosion.
Anyway,
I think right now I'm not talking about anything other than really just chaos. So sorry. Because we have had these conversations before where I make way more sense. So
yeah, it's not there right now.
But yeah, I do like black holes though. They're fun. You like black holes, Matt?
Oh yeah.
Either way, the thing at work theoretically was true. It doesn't matter.
Theoretically, yes.
See, that's all that matters.
Probability, not so
well, much. Obviously. Unless you go into a quantum realm.
That's a whole nother episode on that one.
And that's why I really like quantum physics. Look at that dick in Darius's mouth. Just wiggling around in there.
How'd I get in there?
Oh, you know, Matt. All right, Skipper, so what are your thoughts?
Big old planet hiding somewhere out there? Yeah, 100%. Yeah. aliens mining gold from humans? No.
No, making humans mine gold for them.
Yes.
Like slavery.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. No.
What about the asteroid belt? There being a planet there?
No.
Okay.
Not a whole planet. Dwarf planet.
The way that I look at it is still that I just think that the forces of Jupiter and the sun
it would have to be a dwarf planet. Yeah. I looked up the numbers on it. The mass of everything we know is in the asteroid belt. Between 3% and 4% the mass of the moon.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty open, I guess.
Yeah.
Because we actually talked about that one time when we were sending something out there. One of the missions, I think, was supposed to go to Saturn. I mean, it's still on track or whatever. You and I talked about its track through the asteroid belt or the field, and we were like, huh, it's not as jammed like we thought it was. It's actually very fast. Yeah, it's very fast. I think I actually think from what it looks like is the Kuiper belt might be a little tighter, even though it's larger. And it seems like, but the, you know, their planet, the mass of everything there is way larger than probably the mass of the asteroid belt. I mean, they have already 6 dwarf planets to, I think there's 2 in the asteroid belt, or 3?
I think it was like 5.
Oh shit, really?
Asteroid belt, no, it was like 2 or 3.
I was like, I don't know, man.
I was thinking the wrong numbers.
Hey, look, either way, you gotta admit, with me not really looking up stuff and kind of just going off the top of my head with shit, and the very little knowledge that I do have about certain sciences and stuff, it still works out pretty well. I just gotta draw pictures for you, I think, sometimes. What are you looking at? It made me definitely want to get a little bit more back into just space. Like, just looking and trying to understand
more about it. So, yeah, that's the biggest thing in the asteroid belt.
Yeah, Ceres.
That's Pluto for scale.
Yeah, I mean, Pluto's a little baby.
Well, it's massive compared to the asteroid belt.
Yeah.
It's a whole planet.
I don't know about that.
Pluto's a fucking planet. Well, guys, I hope you enjoyed this program.
Take.